the calls. Hold the calls right now because my buddy, Mr. X, is on the line. Hello, Mr. X. Welcome back.
Hello, Bill. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing actually just fine, Ed. Wanted to touch in with you on a couple of things because we wanted to talk about Senate Bill 762, this atrocious wildfire risk mapping bill, which, looking at some of the headlines on technocracy.news, you know, the Patrick Wood site, the guy I've talked to before, seems to be something which is this international kind of fire risk rating seems to be spreading all across the country in multiple states, which doesn't really surprise me, given that globalism never sleeps, right? And you found something rather interesting about the way the wildland-urban interface is defined. You were doing some poking around on some legal documents. And what did you end up discovering? I'd like to hear this.
Well, the document that I forwarded to you, it was, you know, the header is Kristi Jacobson, Montana Secretary of State. So if we follow that aspect of it, this is their official language of what they're doing with this. Now, the Secretary of State, you remember, is in charge of administrative rules. And basically, this comes down to our old archenemy, administrative rules. So you look at it, and specifically, it says in 24301.181, incorporation by reference of International Wildland Urban Interface Code.
Great. Now, hold that thought there. Hold that thought just a second, Ed, because the reason why this is important is that a state legislator told me the other night that Pam Marsh, who was one of the sponsors of this bill, Senate Bill 762, along with Jeff Golden, they both carried this bill. Pam Marsh, according to this state legislator, was insistent that the international definition of the wildland-urban interface was supposed to be used, and no other definitions. And I guess the way this legislator told me about it is that the international definition of the WUI is the most strict definition that there is out there, and that it supposedly led to absurdities such as I've had people write me and said, "Hey, I have a vineyard that's irrigated." And they're calling this, an irrigated vineyard with wine and grapes and things like that growing there. And it's considered wild land, you know, and it's these bizarre definitions. And this is something that Pam Marsh supposedly insisted that we won't, that we go by. And they were going to kill the bill because of that insistence. And I don't exactly know what happened after that.
Yeah, and that's the nightmare of it all, Bill. And again, I go back to what is wildland when the country was declared settled back in the late 1890s. I mean, it's like, this is an absurdity. We've had years and generations of land being considered land and property. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with properties that are so, you know, this is not wildland interface. This is just the undeveloped land managed by the federal government.
But they would have you act as if somehow, you get outside the city limit and then all of a sudden we're in wildland. There's no wildland around here in Southern Oregon. There really isn't.
Bear in mind, when you read all of this stuff, when you put everything together, when you put in the thought process of all of the people that are involved in trying to push this through, their process incorporates the idea of restoration by fire, that every piece of land needs to be burnt. And I do not agree with that. And this is the point at which the International Wildland Urban Interface Code, all of these things, this was written for sustainable development. Now, that meant undeveloped countries or younger countries or, you know, countries that weren't as developed yet had a guideline that they could use to create a pathway forward that was sound, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not to take existing places and drive the population from.
But that's exactly how it's being. That's how it's being leveraged,
that's
though.
That is how it's being leveraged.
Yeah. Now let me talk about this, Christy Jacobson. She's the Montana Secretary of State. This is the document that you sent me, and I wanted to read this. I'm going to read that legalese in the beginning so people could understand a little bit, and then just try to follow along. And I know you've already read this, Ed. Okay. And because Montana has adopted this, too. The department adopts and incorporates by reference the International Wildland Urban Interface Code, 2021 edition, published by the International Code Council, unless another edition is specifically stated. Okay, blah, blah, blah. The governmental body or some other official state or local agency shall declare the wildland urban interface areas within the jurisdiction. Such declaration or designation shall be based on findings of fact or some other process already completed, such as mapping, boundary designations, or other informative processes such as wildland fire plans. Cities, counties, and towns that have adopted the International Building Code or the International Residential Code in connection with their certification to enforce building codes will, if they elect to enforce the International Wildland Urban Interface Code, record the official wildland interface areas on maps available for inspections by the public. Now, looking at this language from the state of Montana, that would seem to indicate that everything about this is voluntary upon the localities. Am I wrong or right about that?
That's my take on it, Bill, and it goes back to the previous statements that I've made, going back to the executive orders from First President Bush and Bill Clinton, everything that I reviewed where they signed us on to the Rio Accord and then the other sustainable development executive orders, everything is voluntary. And now you have a group of people that have seized this voluntary thing in Oregon. And these people are connected to the most ludicrous environmental concepts that I've ever seen.
Well, let's be fair. Let's just take a look at even what's happening. Because remember, we said that Pam Marsh and Representative Pam Marsh and Senator, State Senator Jeff Golden sponsored this bill. And you wonder who really wrote this. And well, you see that Pam Marsh is on the board, is a member of KS Wild, so she's a KS Wild legislator, right? We know that,
right?
And then you have KS Wild, you have Thousand Friends of Oregon, you have the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. They all have their fingerprints all within this, so they seem to be attempting or volunteering us for international wildland urban interface sustainable development tyranny, I think is really what's going on here. Is it not, or am I?
Well, bear in mind, Bill, it's what we've talked about many times. They're volunteering us through falsifying the actual public opinion or public input on this and using a falsified consensus by their stakeholder community, of which it's a predetermined outcome. So they bring in only the people that are involved in their stated goals and do this. And when you look at this, if you would continue reading, you know, like when you where you started the governmental body, where did you stop?
I stopped right before Chapter 4 is deleted in its entirety, subsection 10. I mean, this is the sort of stuff I don't think anyone would know or care about.
Right. So when you look at it, when you start reading back or looking through that, it's basically so the public can review this, so the individual jurisdictions can make decisions, not a blanket thing from a centralized location. Now, let's examine this a little bit further. We know by what they've done that Oregon's, OSU prepared the mapping, right?
Yeah, OSU prepared prepared the fire risk mapping. Yes, it did.
So now the question comes down is very simple. Who prepared the mapping? Let's follow the funding. And what we have to do as a population is demand those records. Now what you have is, now if they use students that were volunteering, what do you have?
Well, you have a predetermined outcome to burn the land, frankly.
Well, you know what, where I'm going with this, Bill, is you have a volunteer group that prepared these maps under basic academic duress. In other words, you join us, you do what we say, and everything will be fine. But the reality is what that process does is remove a fiduciary obligation and duty to do the right job.
Okay.
Now, when you look at that, government is supposed to protect us from these institutions, you know, or intrusions, I should say. And when I look at that whole thing, I look at this is just such a farce. This is a chaos wild wet dream. This is what it is. You look at this and you, every aspect of this is ridiculous because the rule, okay, is supposed to be implemented by public agreement going forward.
And by the way, Ed, before you move forward, Senate Bill 762, the mapping was supposed to have public input.
That's right.
The actual mapping process by the law, even the own law, was supposed to have public input. They just did the mapping.
That's right.
They just did the mapping and then just threw it out there is essentially what they did.
So, and let's look at what they've done, Bill. And the reality is this is how we've got to do this by perception. And the perception right now to me is what they've created is it's like if you drop a pebble into a calm pool of water. What happens? You have the ripple effect.
You're right.
Now, if you drop a bigger pebble, what do you have? You have first the ripple effect, and then you have the tsunami that comes.
That's right.
And the reality is what they have done is create a situation that's going to be ever more burdensome, ever more destructive to our way of life. And we cannot allow this to go on. But if the rules allow for all of these things, now I say reject this thing totally because it's based upon international rules. We're the sovereign United States. Who are they to bring in something from an outside?
Well, who is Pam Marsh to insist on the international definition of the wildland-urban interface? You know, the most strict, the most burdensome definition of that for her own people, for her constituents.
The reality comes down to, I'm going to say Jeff Golden in there too.
Sure.
Where is the check and balance on these intrusions? Where would you sit as a legitimate legislative representative from our area and do this to your constituents?
All right. Mr. X is with
this
me.
This is an absolute travesty.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And the way people... Now, the thing is, I've been talking with some legislators behind the scenes who have not necessarily come on, you know, the air at this point, Ed. I kind of wanted to update you on some of the things. Now, there has been some concern that these maps would be used for determining fire insurance risk, right? There's been some talk about that. People have talked about their fire insurance going up. I have it on assured by more than one state legislator who says that, no, the maps are not, these maps have not been used by insurance companies at this point. They have their own fire risk maps, and that insurance rates are going up dramatically because of inflation and because of past claims, too. So that's something we need to keep in mind. But you know darn well that if you have an official wildfire risk map there, you know that will be leveraged, don't it? I mean, isn't it safe to assume that will be leveraged to push people off land?
The insurance business is about making money, Bill.
Yep.
Okay. And, you know, there was an instance last night at a small group meeting that I was at. A young guy told me about his mother got one of these, and they were threatening foreclosure. Okay, that you'll be foreclosed on or whatever. Well, she owned her property free and clear. Mm-hmm. So the reality to it is...
Okay, so how could someone be foreclosed upon if they own their property free and clear? Well, how did that happen?
That's the point. They can't be, but the insurance people are using it as a tool or a club to charge you three times more of the money that you have to pay. So there's going to be a lot of people who are in free and clear situations that may end up going without fire insurance. That's reality.
Yeah.
Now, that's a harm. Bill, that's a harm if we lose our property to fire. They have forced this. Jeff Golden and Pam Marsh have forced this. If you people listening, any of you have donated to people like KS Wild, Thousand Friends of Oregon, or if you think What do we do if they're pushing things like this?
Now, Brad Bennington just by the way, Brad Bennington just popped me a note, Ed, and I think you might find this interesting. Brad Bennington, who is the EO of the Builders Association of Southern Oregon, he says, "My understanding, Bill, is that the fire maps were put together by an extremely small group of people, with final authority being as few as three for the actual delineation. That's an awful small group of people to decide something of this significance." I think that's a very interesting point he made.
Well, when you look at the three, if you track it and you track K.S. Wilde, there are names, Christopher Dunn is one of them, pro-fire. If you look at the language that the professors used that steered this program, it's pro-fire. We have to put fire back on the landscape. Mm-hmm. You cannot use international code to conduct intrusive prescribed burning and consistent, constant prescribed burning in lieu of active land management.
And that's what it is. The system's trying to avoid having to actually spend money. They prefer burning the landscape because it's cheap, right?
Well, if you want to sit here and be proud to live in Oregon where it's so beautiful and look at the landscape around you, I invite everyone to just go to their best viewpoint and look around, do a 360, and then close your eyes for a few minutes. Take that beauty and imagine it a charred, burnt up, just ravaged piece of land everywhere you look.
Oh, no, that's not... According to the K.S. Wilde and Thousand Friends and OLCV-type people, Ed, that's not a charred landscape. That's a fire-adapted community.
Yeah, and this is the absurdity to it. Now, if they want to get into a discussion about doing really good management technique, not socially acceptable amongst their peers, but yet everybody benefits from it. We benefit as property owners. We benefit as a population and do it so it doesn't destroy our tourism economy. Do it so people can have an active future here instead of an ever-shrinking way of life that we've got to look at it and say, well, we can't breathe today. Let's stay indoors. Oh, we can't do this. We have to stay protected from the smoke. What kind of life are we engineering? What kind of environment do we have? We have an environment that's destructive of life, and we have an environment that's hurting the actual ecosystem around us. And I look at this, and you don't fire adapt without first destroying everything.
All right, Ed. On that note, I thank you so much for bringing this Montana Secretary of State document to me. I'm going to try to share some of this and the other information that you gave me. And are you putting up posts on MrXFiles.com? Are you doing anything recent on that by chance? Just curious.
I have to talk to the gentleman in charge of that, and I will and make sure he is. So.
All right. I did want to let you know that the same state legislators are telling me behind the scenes that it appears that Senate Bill 762, as controversial as it is, and also as little true public input as has been received on this, is most likely going to be paused big time. Like the entire program might be getting paused here within the next few days. I can't guarantee this, but I have it from reliable legislative sources, but that's where it's going. And frankly, it should be going to being repealed somehow, but that would take legislative action.
Now, I want to point something out, Bill, if I have a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I believe it might have been in one of the conversations I had with you, but Pam Marsh had responded to someone saying she took the bill to the insurance commissioner
right.
of Oregon.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And she said, well, this affect insurance rates. And supposedly he responded, oh, no, it shouldn't have any effect on it. Well, the reality is the insurance commissioner of Oregon is there to do what? His fiduciary obligation and duty in his job is to oversee insurance claims, not project what the insurance companies will do. He's there to legally protect us, that the insurance companies are doing what they say they're going to do to do business in the state of Oregon.
Hmm.
Now, no one has forced the insurance companies to say, well, if they're going to keep prescribed burning, your risk is going up. That's reality. if they keep this program of wanting to let a lightning strike burn because it's an opportunity to conduct a prescribed fire, now we are in a risk situation. Now, the insurance company has to stay alive, stay in business, stay, you know.
And so the insurance company is going to have to raise rates and or cancel the insurance. It's not worth the risk, is it? And if it's not worth the risk, what we end up coming into then is an Oregon that essentially accomplishes the goals of sustainable development, which is to force people off public, off the more rural lands and into the cities. That's their plan. That has been, it's been talked about openly for years. Okay.
Well, it's to keep further development from happening. They're really mad that people actually have the nerve to buy a piece of property and develop in the rural areas.
Yeah, unless you have a B&B like the Green Springs Inn, you know, then that's okay. That's all right. That's already
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
You know. I'm just kidding around with you there. Ed, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Betsy Johnson is going to be calling me in a few minutes. We'll have to ask her about this because she voted for this this atrociousness, along with all of the other two gubernatorial candidates, too. All right. Thank you.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Got a lot to do, but hoping that Senate Bill 762 is paused. Be better if it just was completely withdrawn somehow, but I know that's